Welcome in to the David L. Gray Show, off code, unscripted, on St. Dominic's Media. Arf! Islands of Heaven. Glad to have you here. Glad to be back. I was only before I started the live stream here, I was like, man, it's been a while. You know, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, right? You know, it took me a while to get this thing going. And because I thought it's been a couple of weeks. Man, I don't think I did a stream last Monday. Maybe I did a recording show or something like that. So, man, but glad to be here. Glad to be back for this exciting show. Glad you're here. We're going to talk a little bit about, at the beginning, we're going to talk a little bit about the latest assassination attempt of DJT. Got to get into that. And then we're going to get into Pope Francis. That's the bulk of the show. Some of the things you liked, some things you didn't like from last Friday, some of the comments he said, some of the brain rot the Pope spread, some of that new ageism, all religions are the same type of stuff. Gonna get into that. And some things he said about also you gotta get out and vote. So some things he said that you liked, some things that you didn't like. We're gonna talk about that on today's show. David L. Gray, off code, unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. You may notice a little bit of rearrangement around the house. We have been using this channel here as sort of a catch-all of everything we do over at St. Dominic's Media, all of the commentary, all of the theology, all of the courses, all of the podcast reflections. We have been using it for that. But we decided to sort of separate out everything that we do. So this is why you see this now, again, the David L. Gray channel. And now we have a separate channel for St. Dominic's Media. That's going to catch all of our courses, all of our theology, all of our reflections on the scriptures and everything like that. So that's just straight theology, that channel, the charism of St. Dominic's Media to teach people and inspire people about how to live the liturgical life and teach them about the liturgy, the Catholic Mass. And that's going to be that channel. And then you have the Father Hell No channel, which is going to be a catch-all for all the comedy skits and things we do at St. Dominic's Media. So I encourage you, and I really ask you to go out there. The best way to find Father Hell No, St. Dominic's Media, just type into your YouTube search engine, Father Hell No, subscribe, please. And the St. Dominic's Media, please subscribe there. Also, if you go to the homepage here, St. David L. Gray on YouTube, you'll see two links at the bottom. So please go over there and subscribe. You know, YouTube, they would like to tell us that it really doesn't matter what you put on your channel. You can have a diverse channel. You can talk about guns, and you can talk about motorcycles, and you can talk about swimming and donuts and bourbon. You can talk about all those things on YouTube channel. It really doesn't matter, because what they do is they promote the video, and they don't promote the channel. I think there's some evidence to that on this channel. We have videos with over a million views, some with over half a million views that's not even really related to the bulk of the content. And so I think there's some evidence there, but also some evidence that if your channel is a consistent with a genre or a charism, that it sort of confuses people. And I think that you get that in the notifications. When you get notifications, which YouTube considers when they promote your video. So if I send people a commentary video like this, there's people who like the commentaries, and there's some people who really don't get into the reflections on the scriptures. So those people won't really click on those when they get a notification, which then drags down, which really affects your algorithm. So there's evidence both ways. So, but I'm going to lean the other way. So we're going to divide the channel. So please get out there, check them out, subscribe, and I really appreciate it. Let's get into this show. This is David L. Gray's show, Off Code, Unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. You know, I was thinking, a lot of people ask me, hey, David, what do you miss about living in the United States? You know, since I've been living here in Germany for, what's going on, on the 22nd, it'd be 2 years now since we moved here, with maybe like three more or so at least to go. So we'll see. But, like, what do you miss? I think there's the typical things that all Americans miss living in Germany, like Chick-fil-A. That's usually what a lot of people say. Oh, man, I miss Chick-fil-A. The best we can do is get Polynesian sauce in the mail. So I miss that. But free bathrooms here in Germany, not so much all year, but mainly, especially here in Germany. And I think I noticed as well when I was in New Zealand, maybe Australia, they should have to pay for bathrooms. Like, you want to use the bathroom, you got to pay like 50 cents. It's ridiculous. Sometimes a lot of places now you can use your debit card, which makes it a lot easier. But yeah, paying for bathrooms is so annoying. The other thing a lot of people, what I really miss about living in the United States is free water. Free water. I used to remember a time. I'm in a restaurant and I asked the waiter for water. They just bring water, ice in it, lemon in it, whatever you want. And they don't charge you for it. Over here, it's like $2 a glass, right? And sometimes it's just tap. So, man, I really miss free water. Can't wait to move back just for that. But, man, it's when I think about the United States now, some of the things that I read about, some things that I watch, I'm like completely, you know, it's really completely disturbing. But this is, you know, this is the second assassination attempt of Donald Trump, former president, most likely president again, if they don't cheat him again. And what's really disturbing, I think, is the Democrats, your liberals. And I don't understand why, you know, you talk to just your ordinary liberal on the street, right? And you ask them about, oh man, you know, Donald Trump was, there was another assassination attempt. And oftentimes one of their immediate go-tos is like, oh, it was staged. It was fake. It wasn't real. I don't understand how gunshots are fake or staged. They say, oh well, he coordinated that whole thing. I mean, there's significant amount more evidence that the 2020 election was rigged than these assassination attempts. I mean, in the first one, a guy named Corey died. In this one, a man was arrested. He had a background. I really don't understand their logic. But it's really disturbing and sick. It's like they won't believe that these assassination attempts are real until Donald Trump dies. And then, oh, that one wasn't staged. Maybe they will say it's staged. Like, oh, that's not what was supposed to happen. I mean, there's like a real mental sickness that's going on with these people. And it's not, I don't even think they're even hearing it from mainstream liberal media. I don't even think the mainstream liberal media is saying that. They're saying other things. I think Joy Reid over at MSNBC said bad white men. Oh, white men are all bad. These are white men who try to assassinate Trump. These are his voters. I think there's other types of derangement that's going on the mainstream media, but I don't know where these people are getting this idea that this whole thing is staged. These things are fake. They're not real. That this is just a machination from Donald Trump, that he's doing these things. Completely disturbing. So I don't miss mental disease. That's one thing I don't miss, being around, you know, more of those type of people, just the sick mental disease that comes with it. So, but man, pray for DJT that he perseveres. You know, a lot of people at this point in time would have just stopped. They just would quit running. Like, oh, my life is more important than this country. But no, the man keeps going. He doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to lose money. He doesn't have to do any of these things. He could just go golf in Ireland or something like that. He has golf courses around the country. He's an older guy. He has family. He can do a million other things besides putting himself and his family at risk. So kudos to him for everything that he's doing for the country. Because a lot of other people would have just tapped out by now. So let's get into, that's my thoughts on the whole DJT thing. I'm just disturbed by liberals. thinking that the whole thing is staged. But let's get into the bulk of the show, Pope Francis and spreading brain rot. This is David L. Gray's show, Upcoded and Scripted on Saint Dominic's Media. Dina Wing says, my parish priest, when I asked him about Pope Francis' statement, said he didn't know what I was talking about. Yeah. I wonder if that's, are most people not paying attention? Maybe, I think maybe that's the case. I don't know. Was this on like the mainstream news? I'm sure it was, but, I'm not surprised. I mean, maybe parish priests are just busy. Maybe they don't, they're not tuned in to the latest happenings of the Pope. He had been really a quiet Pope, though. I would say that. I think months have been gone on. Months have passed. Maybe three, maybe six. I don't know. Maybe, I guess, since the last thing that came out from the disaster of the Doctrine of Faith. Maybe since then. That, you know, we've had to maybe comment on something that the Pope or the Vatican has done. It's been a while. He's been a quiet Pope. And it had been refreshing, right? To have a quiet Pope. He hadn't said anything on the airplane. You know, he hadn't issued any sort of troubling document, I guess. I guess the last thing was really just the working document from the Synod on Synodality. I think that was the last thing. And I wasn't completely crazy. You know, I made a video about it. But man, he had been really a quiet Pope. It had been good. All right. Didn't last. So, the story is that on Friday, Pope Francis had stirred up a little bit of this interreligious controversy. Right? So he was in Singapore speaking at a conference, and I'll play a video that shows exactly what he said. Right? And we'll get into that. This is a really funny video. I saw it on Facebook on Robert Nugent's channel. I say, man, Robert, I gotta use that for my live stream. So let's watch the video of what Pope Francis said, and then we'll comment on it.
Tutte le religioni sono un cammino per arrivare a Dio.
Because every religion is a way to arrive at God.
Sono, dirò una comparazione, sono come diverse lingue, diversi idiomi per arrivare lì.
Sort of a comparison, an example would be they're sort of like different languages in order to arrive at God.
Ma Dio è Dio per tutti.
But God is God for all.
E come Dio è Dio per tutti, noi siamo tutti figli di Dio.
And if God is God for all, then we're all sons and daughters of God.
Ma il mio Dio è più importante del tuo.
But my God is more important than your God.
È vero quello?
Is that true?
C'è un solo Dio lì. E noi sono idiomi, cammino, lingue per arrivare a Dio.
There's only one God, and each of us is a language, so to speak, in order to arrive at God.
Qualcuno schifo, qualcuno musulmano, qualcuno indi, qualcuno cristiano. Indo, Christian. Sono diversi cammini.
They're different paths.
Understood?
Okay, so that's the part you get to clearly.
So Pope Francis, that was his commentary at this conference in Singapore, okay? And another translation is saying that he said that all religions are a path to reach God. They are. I make a comparison, like different languages, different idioms to get there. But God is God for everyone. And he says, and since God is God for everyone, We are all children of God, but my God is more important than yours. The guy says, is that true? Francis says, there is only one God, and our religions are languages, paths to reach God. Some are Sikh, some are Muslim, some are Hindu, some are Christian, but they are different paths. So a couple of different translations out there, but they all seem to say the same thing. Now, here's Michael Lofton's commentary on that, which I thought was really, really funny.
See the words coming out of his mouth. Now, I am not in a position to determine whether or not that English translator there is authentically and reliably translating Pope Francis into English on the spot. I don't know Italian. So those of y'all who speak Italian, y'all can determine that. I see somebody in the chat who's saying, I speak Italian, the live translator is perfect. Okay, and others might say, no, I think that he's missing it. You know, I can't help you there. All I can do is look at the different English translations. I can kind of get the sense of what he's saying in between them. Some are saying, hey, it's pretty close, pretty much good. So, you know, most of the people, another person, I speak Italian, translator is perfect. So about four people in the chat have confirmed, hey, that translator is effectively getting it. Okay, well, that's curious because what you're going to see from the Vatican English website is a little different than what you just saw here.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that was so funny. When they start playing the cloud music, I was done. I was done. But I think that's the point. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. We don't have to, you know, there's a universe, right? I think the universe is at least here among us on this channel where we can recognize that Pope Francis is Pope. Sometimes he says some wild things, right? But he's Pope, right? It's okay to acknowledge that. We don't have to defend. We don't have to apologize. We don't have to Pope explain, right? He's Pope. Maybe, you know, I would say bad Pope. You know, no evidence that he's in the Petrite, actually Petrite ministry, right? But he's Pope. And he says some off-the-hook things sometimes, right? And that's fine. We don't have to apologize. We don't have to explain. We don't have to nuance this. We don't have to put it in a pot and stir it up. No, it's just right there, my friends. It's not hard. So that was hilarious. But you know, that's Michael Lofton. You know, I don't hate Michael Lofton. I kind of like the guy, honestly. But sometimes what he does, his weakness as a human being with a brain is that he's very myopic, meaning that he isolates things. He puts on these horse blinders and he doesn't include everything else into the narrative, right? Completely myopic. It's not even healthy, right? It's kind of like that, you know, what did you do for me lately sort of attitude, you know, just horse blinders. So he doesn't really, but we'll do that on this show. We'll bring in that, you know, I think we have to talk about this. We do. Because it's important. It's new ageism. This idea of I'm spiritual, but not religious. That's what Pope Francis is saying. I'm spiritual, not religious. I heard one guy say, this is Freemasonry. I don't know. You know, I was a Freemason for 10 years. I don't know. You know, Freemasons, you know, it is a type of syncretic religion. It does include a lot of different sort of religious ideas. But, you know, Freemasons aren't even saying all paths are equal. You know, it sort of ranks paths. You know, I think Christianity would be what Barron says is the most privileged way. You know, it includes a lot more Christianity into the Masonic rites than it does anything else. Anything else. It's like 8-2. It's not even close. So, but Pope Francis even saying that. So, no, this is not Freemasonry. This is New Ageism. This is spiritual, not religious. So that's one thing. Everybody was like, oh, man, that what Pope Francis said is crap. But then he gets on an airplane Friday. And we'll talk about that for a second, because we're going to like wrap these things together. He gets on an airplane Friday. And people are asking him questions. And of course, Pope Francis does his plane thing, his airplane thing, what he says, like some wild things on an airplane, right? So, of course, they want to ask Pope Francis about the election going on in the United States. And this is what, and this is what he said. So Pope Francis said that American voters face a choice between the lesser evil. Which is always like really interesting. How can people don't put a more positive spin on it? Let's say American voters face a choice between the greater good. Like, let's vote for the most good. Who's going to do the greater good? No, we don't say that, because I think at least intellectually, we're being honest with ourselves. These are evil people. They're going to do evil. Or maybe not evil people. Maybe one of them is like just like evil person. Maybe the other person maybe tries to have a good heart, but is very pragmatic and will do things that are evil in the name of pragmatism. So he says, Pope Francis says that American voters face a choice between a lesser evil in the U.S. presidential election. During the in-flight press conference on Friday, on his return from his nearly two-week tour of Southeast Asia. Speaking aboard a paper plane, the charter Singapore Airlines flight on September 13th, the Pope encouraged Catholics to vote their conscience. And not their Catholic conscience, just their conscience, perhaps even deformed. In political morality, quote, in general, they say if you don't vote, it's not good, it's bad. Pope Francis says you have to vote, kind of like you have to take the vaccine. Remember that? So you have to vote, and you have to choose a lesser evil. What is a lesser evil? The woman asked, the woman or the man. He continued, referring to Vice President Kamala Harris and her Republican opponent. I don't know. So Pope Francis, who's Pope? Who's Pope? Who's our spiritual father? Who's supposed to lead us and guide us in the direction? They ask him, okay, the lesser two evils. And we have to vote, like we have to take the vaccine. Well, which one? Pope Francis says, I don't know. I just don't know. Each one in his or her conscience must think and do this. And then he makes the comments. He says, both are anti-life. He puts on his little seamless garment. He's going to equate the migrant issue, illegal immigration, and child murder, child sacrifice. He says, both are anti-life. Both the one who throws out migrants and the one who kills babies. Both of them are against life. So he equates laws in our country to and there's nothing the church has never said. In fact, the church has said the opposite about countries have a right to have borders and countries have a right to sovereignty. The church has taught that for centuries. So laws that protect countries' borders and their sovereignties and keep people safe, those can be completely moral. Unjust. I think there's an aspect of them. Of course, you could have some laws or something, like say if someone crosses the border, they get the death penalty. We kill them, we fillet them. Okay. I think we're going a little far there. But if you're saying that it's a crime of a country to enter the country illegally, that you can enter this country, but you have to do it through our borders. You have to go through the process. That's moral. That's just, right? But Pope Francis is saying that's evil. He's saying, oh, the one guy who wants to deport migrants, that's an evil. Right? He doesn't even mention Donald J. Trump's, his advocation of the abortion pill, of in vitro fertilization, of abortion because of rape, incest, abortion up to so many weeks. He doesn't mention Donald Trump's advocation for all that. He doesn't mention his advocation for human sacrifice. We call the form we call death row. He doesn't mention any of that that inveighs against what the church teaches. No, he goes straight to the migrant thing, which is interesting because that's moral. That's just. But then he equates that with the person who, you know, Kamala Harris, who, like Donald Trump, who is also anti-life. But we know Democrats are a little more open and honest about who they are when it comes to child sacrifice, right? So we know that even though both of these presidents, they're going to be anti-life, there's going to be a different exploration of that with the Democrats. It's going to be much more on the table, completely making abortion, the so-called law of the land, as they say, is on the table. Exporting abortion, child sacrifice to other countries is on the table. So both are going to be anti-life, but with Democrats, with Kamala, it's going to be a completely different type of charism, all right? A different type of evil agenda, okay? So, but Pope Francis said, see, that's no, there was a time, I think, but who was it, Pius IX? I think the time we saw this most clear, there was an election in Italy. And he wrote a whole encyclical. It's in my book, The Catholic Catechism on Freemasonry, because this encyclical was concerning some of the machinations that Freemasons were responsible about in Europe. And so he writes this encyclical and he encouraged the people of Italy to get out there and vote for a particular party. And they did. And when they won, he came back and wrote another encyclical, said, thank you. We did it. I wish we could go back to a time when popes and priests and bishops were fathers. When they were spiritual fathers. What father lets his child go out there and just do something stupid without warning them, without guiding them? Especially when they ask you a question. There's never been a time in my life as a father where one of my daughters came to me and asked me a question like, Dad, what should I do? Where I didn't have some sort of guidance, some sort of advice, some sort of construct, right? There's never been a time in my life when I asked my father or my stepfather advice about something. And they didn't have some. No one has ever told me, David, do what you want to do. When I asked them a question, that, oh, I don't know, right? I even asked my father. I think I was on my way to college. I was like, Dad, maybe I should go to the military. You know, we're in this truck and things like that. And, you know, because, you know, I think he was drafted or something like that. Yeah, he's drafted. And, you know, and he just gave me guidance. He gave me pros and cons. I think that's what fathers do. And I think that point in time, he sort of left it up to me, but at least he gave me some sort of construct and guidance would work for him in his own life. Pope Francis isn't even doing that. He said, I don't know. I don't know. The migrants and killing child sacrifice, they're equivalent issues. That's New Ageism. The disability, the mental disability to be able to weigh things morally and come to rights and just decisions and putting everything on the same level. That's the same issue what we see Pope Francis doing with religion. This indifferentism towards morality is the same indifferentism towards God. It's putting things that should not be equated and put on the same level so that you can arrive at a decision that is good either way. That's New Ageism. He's doing it with voting. He's doing it with religions. Right. And the whole idea that, you know, that we have to vote, right? I think, again, that's just a logical false dilemma. We don't have to do anything. There's never just two options, right? People always want to make, oh, it's just two options. You have two options. That's a logical false dilemma. There's a third option. There's a fourth option. As a Catholic, you can just be holy and you can affect your world and your surroundings with your holiness. That's how you can change the world. Be holy. Because if there's fewer sinners in the world is better. If we had a world where everybody recognized that Christ Jesus is the King of Kings and we have the law, we have love, then what do we need with these lords of the manor? What do we need with these fake evil people who are going to do evil and inveigh against Christ our King, right? But we just really don't have that world. We just want to be like the Jews who wanted a king. Give us a king like our neighbors. I think that's what we have. We just don't. God, Jesus is just not good enough for us. It's New Ageism. Jesus just isn't enough. I wish Jesus was enough for everyone. Because if he was enough, we'd be a better country. We'd be a better people. We'd be a better world. And we wouldn't have to elect these lords at a manor who all they're going to do is evil. All right. I'm just amazed that we have a pope that's just okay with us going to hell. I mean, what if voting is on a ballot, going to the ballot booth? What if that's something we'll be judged by? What if that's included in our deeds, in our actions, our words, everything that we say to do, we're going to be judged by on Judgment Day? What if voting isn't included in that? What if voting isn't sort of like a sanctuary city? What if voting isn't like one of those things that God, you know, turns his eye to and doesn't really consider on Judgment Day? What if? What if we'll actually be judged by everything that we do and say, and then we empower people who are going to do evil? What if we'll be judged by that? Right? And so what Pope Francis is saying, he doesn't care if you go to hell. He doesn't go to hell if you want to. Go to hell if you want to. He's giving no instruction and guidance about how we should govern ourselves. Man. So this is really the same issue. This indifferentism towards religion, indifferentism towards evil. It's all pagan. It's all New Ageism. He's saying there's multiple ways by which, concerning voting, there's multiple ways which we can arrive at a just decision. And you can actually vote for either person. There's multiple ways by which you can arrive to heaven. Now, if Pope Francis, by saying this, right, this whole thing, that that all religions are a path to God. Now, if let's talk about this for a second. Because what Pope Francis is saying is that the first thing, there's two options here. I hate to make a logical false dilemma, but I'm not making you make a choice here. I'm just saying, I think there's two different things. There's multiple things he could be saying, but I think these are the two best options. If what he's saying first is that, by saying that all religions are a path to God, if he's saying that God is the source of all truth, because that's his nature, God is truth, God is love. And because God is a source of truth, there is truth everywhere where you could find it. And all religions have some sort of truth. Okay. Because God is a source of truth. So there's truth with the Hindus, there's truth with the Muslims, there's truth with the Protestants, there's truth with the Catholics. And if you pursue that truth, you can arrive at the source of truth. If that's what Pope Francis is saying, we don't have a problem with that. We don't have a problem with that. That's something you can find in scripture. Fine. We can let him off the hook. He didn't know how to use words well. Fine. But if what Pope Francis is saying is that all religions are equally true, if that's what he's saying, by saying all religions are path to God, that all religions are equally true, that by being a Muslim, by being a Hindu, by being a Protestant, you can, all those will lead you to having a good judgment day, then that's very problematic. I don't even use the word heresy. I think we use that too much. Let's just say satanic. Let's say demonic. Let's say that it's something that a pope should never say. I've been in homilies. I've been in mass sometimes. Maybe you guys have been there as well. I've been in more than enough, more than two handfuls. When I've heard a priest dare say that it doesn't matter, that all you have to do is just be a good person. That you just have to love your neighbor. That's all you have to do. Right? It doesn't matter if you're Protestant or you're Catholic. You know, you just have to be a good person. I've heard homilies like that. I'm sure you have as well. And I hate it. I hate it with every fiber of my being, because I'm like, why in the hell should I be a Catholic then? Why in the hell should I be a Catholic if that's the case? If all religions are equally true, which I think Pope Francis is saying, and I think we have enough evidence, and I'll get into the evidence, that's what he's saying. I think there's enough evidence, I'll get into that. And if that's what he's saying, then why be a Catholic? I mean, why? What's the point? What's the point of the sacraments? If I could reach the same path by doing nothing, why should I do something? Why? Because I'm an overachiever? Because I want to do what Bishop Barron said, I want the most privileged way? I want to be privileged about it. But why? I don't get the point. I mean, there's a lot more interesting paths I could take. I could be a Mormon. That's interesting. The whole, they believe, you know, that, you know, the Joseph Smith had a pair of spectacles, magical glasses that he saw in his hieroglyphic and he could read it. Right? And that we're all going to have our own planet someday. You know, in a Mormon man, they always have the white pajamas underneath their clothes. I get cold really fast. I do. I don't like anything under 73 degrees. So I would like to wear pajamas underneath my clothes. I think Mormons always stay warm, right? I think, why be Catholic? I mean, if I was a younger guy and I was looking for a wife, I think Mormons do skinny cute better than any other religion. All Mormon girls are like skinny cute. If that's your thing, skinny cute, become a Mormon. You have a lot more options with skinny cute. You do. In the United States. I mean, if you want skinny cute, of course, you know, come to Europe. Skinny cute is everywhere. But yeah, in the United States, you're looking for skinny cute, become a Mormon. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because of all the polygamy. Is that how they all turned out? All the Mormon girls skinny cute? I don't know. But I think that's just a better option. And yeah, why not polygamy? Why not? If all paths are equal, what's up with this? I don't get it. Even Muslim might seem like a better option. I could go blow something up. You know, I'm not into fire or pyrotechnics or anything like that. But hey, if all paths are equal, why not go blow something up? All right? And Muslim women, they got the whole ninja outfit, right? They got the whole mask and her face always looks good right here, right? Why not? Why not have a woman whose face looks good right there and has a ninja suit on? You know, I like ninjas. Why not? I'm just saying. If all paths are equal, I think there's some more interesting options than Catholicism. I just do. All right. I don't get it. But these ideas are all rooted in the same soil. So I don't think it's like, you know, people can say, oh, I liked what he said on Friday on the airplane, that we sacrament is a voting. I mean, voting is a sacrament. That we have to do it. Like, we have to take the vaccine. We have to get baptized. But then on Friday, people say, oh, I didn't like what he said about pagan brain rot. Now, it's all the same soil. Both of these ideas are both the same, are coming out of the same, different plants are the same soil. Because both of them are saying it's all about you. It's all about self-determination. It's all about you and what you want to do, even if it opposes God. It's humanism. It's saying that you get to choose. It's your way. And God will bless your way. You can do something and say, hell, God, bless what I'm doing, even if it's evil. It's humanism. It's self-determination. That's what it is. But I think there's some proof that Pope Francis was saying the latter and not the former, that he wasn't saying that all religions, that God is a source of truth and all religions have truth. And if you pursue truth, you can arrive at God. I don't think there's evidence to believe that he was saying that. I think the evidence says what he was saying was the latter, that all religions are equally true, and on your judgment day, it doesn't matter. All right, let's get into that proof real quick. This is David O'Gray Show, Off Code, Unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. All right, I got 1, 2, 3. I got four pieces of evidence here. And I have four reasons why Pope Francis believes what he believes about all religions are equally true. So let's go four. And so here's the first one that I have. So I don't know if you know this guy, but a guy on the left died in 2014 on a motorcycle accident. God rest his soul. Lord have mercy on his soul. But his friend, his name was Tony Palmer. He was an Anglican bishop. Like I say, he died on a motorcycle crash in 2014, and him and Pope Francis were besties. This is Pope Francis, one of his best friends, right? Pope Francis had a very close relationship with Anglican Bishop Tony Palmer. And one of the reactions, Pope Francis referred to Palmer as his brother bishop. The guy's an Anglican, but he referred to him as his brother bishop. He's known him for a long time, way going back to his days as a bishop in Argentina. Concerning false ecumenism with Tony Palmer, Pope Francis said, "Let us allow our longing to increase so that it propels us to find each other, embrace each other, and praise Jesus Christ as the only Lord in history." Why did he say that? Why did he say, let us allow our longing to increase so that it propels us to find each other and embrace each other and praise Jesus Christ, the only Lord in history? Why did Pope Francis say that? Well, Tony Palmer wanted to be a Catholic. This is how much he loved Pope Francis. How much he loved Jorge Bergoglio when they were friends. And he believed in him and trusted him. So Tony wanted to convert to Catholicism. And Pope Francis, when he's, you know, just Jorge Bergoglio, told him no. The man wants to convert. And Pope Francis said no. No. Don't convert. He said, don't convert because we need you over there. Which is like a really, really disturbing thing to tell anyone who wants to convert to Catholicism. Like, which one among you would tell your friend who wanted to convert to the one true faith, would tell them no? Which one among you would say, no, I don't want to save your soul. I want you to go to hell. I wouldn't. Pope Francis did. So it's really my hope that on his judgment day, that God did not hold that against him. That if his desire of his heart was to become a Catholic, that God did not hold that against him because Francis told him no. That's disturbing. But this is my first piece of evidence that Pope Francis believed the latter, that all religions are equally true and it doesn't matter on your judgment day. My second piece of evidence comes from some of the things that Pope Francis said in his encyclical Amoris Laetitia. So there's the footnote 351, which is really famous, where Pope Francis mentions that in certain cases, individuals in what he called irregular situations can receive help of the sacraments. Quote, in certain cases, this can include the help of sacraments. Hence, I want to remind priests that the confessional must not be a torture chamber, but rather an encounter with the Lord's mercy. That's something he gets from Evangelii Gaudium. Paragraph 44. I also point out that the Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect, but a powerful medicine for the nourishment of the weak. Paragraph 47, Evangelii Gaudium. So here, Pope Francis, concerning the sacraments, concerning sin, and this goes in line with where Pope Francis is also with open communion. He's addressed the topic with Protestants receiving Catholic communion on several occasions. One notable instance was during a prayer service at a Lutheran church in Rome on November 15th, 2015. During the Q&A session, a Lutheran woman asked Pope Francis, you may remember this, about receiving communion with her husband, and Pope Francis responded by emphasizing the importance of individual conscience. Again, just like voting. It's just your individual conscience. In a shared belief that the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, he said, speak with the Lord and go ahead. So he tells a woman that if your conscience says that you believe what we believe, but go ahead, speak with the Lord and go ahead. You don't have to become Catholic. This is just a personal question, just your personal conscience. I'm not going to guide you. I'm not going to lead you. I'm not going to say, hey, you got to become Catholic. Yeah, you remain a Lutheran. Receive the Holy Eucharist. It's up to you. Fourth piece of evidence was his ecumenism with the Muslims. You know, Pope Francis has had a lot of outreach with the Muslims. He's emphasized the shared worship, the same God that Catholics and Muslims share on several occasions. One notable instance was during his visit to the Central African Republic in 2015. There's also the instance in Abu Dhabi with the interreligious documents. But in 2015, he prayed in a mosque and highlighted the importance of unity and mutual respect. He stated that Muslims together with us adore one merciful God. Not a huge alarm. You can find that same statement in throughout some of the Vatican II documents, Nos Nobili, Nostra Aetate, and Lumen Gentium. You can find it in both of those. So he's not outside of church when he says that. But I would like to read the Vatican II documents just on a cursory level and not go too deep concerning them when it calls Jews and these other people our brothers and sisters and say we had the same God. I would like to believe that's just a cursory level. Like, okay, Jews and Muslims, they all believe in the same God as us. But they just haven't been enlightened with a complete understanding of God. A God has a son named Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, right? So that the Muslim and Jews just understand God on just a cursory level, but they're just kind of dumb. That's what I would like to believe that the documents of Vatican II are saying. But that's not what Pope Francis is saying when he repeats statements from Vatican II. He's saying something else. He's saying that truly, we all worship the same God without distinction. So those are my piece of evidence that Pope Francis, since he's been Pope, even before he's been Pope, he's had this same ideology that all religions are equal. He's been spreading this new age brain rot that you can be spiritual but not religious. He's been spreading that for the entire time. Now, there's four reasons why I think that Pope Francis does this. So let me get into those four reasons real quick, then I get to your comments. This is David L. Gray Show, Off Code and Unscripted on Saint. All right, so here's my four reasons why Pope Francis is spreading New Age brain rot, and he believes that it's okay to be spiritual, but not religious. Okay. The first reason why, not really even just Pope Francis, but just anyone who's on this spiritual but not religious kick, but dares calls himself a Catholic or something else. The first reason why you believe it's okay to be spiritual but not religious, or in that all religions are equal, is that you truly believe that Jesus is a liar. Jesus lied when he said that I am the way, the life, and the truth. There is no other way to the Father but through me. He also lied when he called himself the bread of life, when he called himself the door, when he called himself the Prince of Peace. All his I am statements, Jesus lied. That's the first reason. Jesus is a liar. That's the only way you can arrive at a conclusion that you can get to the Father other ways besides through Jesus Christ, is if you believe that Jesus lied when he called himself the way to life and truth and said there's no other way to the Father but through him. When he called himself the door, when he called himself the good shepherd, he called himself the true vine. All these I am statements are all lies. The second reason how you can arrive at this conclusion is okay, be spiritual or religious. Our religions are equal, and that it really doesn't matter on your judgment day what path you took, is if you believe that there's nothing exceptional about Catholicism. There's nothing exceptional about it. It's just one of many. And I think Pope Francis has demonstrated that he doesn't believe that there's anything exceptional about Catholicism. Again, with his friend Tony Palmer. If any of our friend came to us, say, I want to become a Catholic, I think any of us, hounds of heaven, would say, that's a great idea. Let me find you a church where you can receive a good OCIA instruction. Right? I think that's what we say. Let me help you find a good church. Because we wouldn't send our friend anywhere. Because we know there's some churches, Catholic churches, we send him to where he would lose that spark of faith going through OCIA. But not Pope Francis, because he doesn't believe there's anything exceptional about Catholicism. But we believe that there's a lot of exception about it. There's a lot of unique things about it. In particular, our beliefs in the Holy Eucharist, our belief in baptism really cleanses our sins. And some of the same things we would probably share about the Orthodox, but then we would say, well, something else is very unique inception about Catholicism, that we have the Vicar of Christ. We have the Pope, even though sometimes he's a bad Pope. The third reason how you can arrive at a conclusion and say, oh, it's okay to be spiritual, religious, but spiritual, but not religious, and all religions are equal, and it doesn't really matter on your judgment day which path you choose, is if you believe that you need to believe this, just personally. Because you want to go out there and sin, but sin without consequences. These tend to be the people who are spiritual, but not religious, people who are living in these really demonic and grave sins. And don't want to be judged for them. And then they have to believe, they have to tell themselves the story, they have to enter into a state of psychosis, and they have to believe the lies that they told themselves, that it really doesn't matter what I do because I'm not going to be judged by it. So I'm going to be spiritual, but not religious. Like, I want to believe in God, but I'm not going to believe in God that holds me accountable because of my actions. I'm going to be spiritual, not religious, because I know that religion tends to require something of me. As long as that religion isn't like Episcopalianism. But I think every other religion, I think, tends to hold people accountable. Even, you know, again, Mormons, they'll excommunicate you really fast. Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll excommunicate you really fast. Muslims, you lead a faith, they'll kill you. Catholics, we used to burn you, cut off your head just 200 years ago, right? So I think every religion, perhaps Episcopalianism, has consequences, right? And I think people just, you know, instinctually know that, oh, man, if I follow this religion, man, there's going to be some consequences. All right. And I don't want to be fake. So I'll just be spiritual, not religious, so I can keep doing these sins. Right? I'm not saying that Pope Francis is engaged in any sins. I'm not even saying that this third one maybe even fits him. Maybe it's just the first and the second one. He believes Jesus is a liar. He doesn't believe that there's nothing exceptional about Catholicism. Nah, you know, whether he has personal sins that he has to believe. I don't know, but I do know that this tends to be one of the things that I find with people who are spiritual but not religious. They have to believe that. And the fourth thing, again, how you can arrive become spiritual but not religious, and you can arrive at a conclusion that, oh, all religions are equal, and it doesn't matter what path I take for my judgment day, is if you believe that is no judgment day. All right. If there's no judgment day, then you can do whatever you want, right? And with that, it's just humanism, right? You just self-determination. You just do whatever you want to do. Because there's no judgment day. All right. That's my thoughts on everything this Monday about Trump, Pope Francis, an election, Pope Francis spreading spiritual new age brain rot. And let me get to your comments. This is David L. Gray Show, Off Code, Unscripted on St. Dominic's Media. Man, let me get to your comments. Man, you guys have a lot of comments in a box. Let me get to the people who donated to the show first, you know, because I do like capitalism. Appreciate it. Colin, my friend, thanks, David, for all you do. Vivo Cristo Ray, appreciate you, my man, Colin. Thanks for keeping the bills paid around here. Thank you, all of you who become members also of St. Dominic's Media, exclusive members or Hounds of Heaven or on YouTube. Click that join button. I really appreciate all you guys, all your offerings, all your offerings help. And, but man, you know, keep the channel, keep St. Dominic's Media in prayer, and please share what we do. And like I said, go over there, like Father Hellnaw, the new channel for Father Hellnaw. I think we're just up to 1,900 subs, so we need a lot more. Share the video, share the content. Over at St. Dominic's Media, I think we're just at like 40 subs, so please go over there, subscribe to that channel, like that content. Really appreciate it. All right, let's get into some of your other comments. Avery Appiah, it was like we're playing a video of our friend Michael Lofton trying to Pope explain the whole thing, and she says L often. Laura calls him the Pope Splainer extraordinaire. He's really good, isn't he? He's really good. Good old Lofty, Colin calls him. Yeah. John says Catholic Cristero says, yeah, Pope Francis supports all of the seamless garment. All of it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And pro-life is the main issue. That's always where I've been. I had always been a single issue voter. Ever since I became Catholic, it's always been about life. Whatever, man. 13. Michael Lofton believes the Italian translator mistranslated the Pope. Lofton is waiting for the official translation from the Vatican, which is never going to come. That's not going to happen. I hope he's not waiting on that. He's going to be like all skull and bone when that happens. That's pretty funny. My man Lil Wayne converting to Mormon tomorrow. Yeah, bruh. If you like skinny cute, you live in the States, the Mormon girl is the way to go. And she's typically moral, right? She's typically going to give you a lot of kids, right? So, yeah. If all religions are equal, go for it, right? But they're not, right? But I know it's tough. I mean, you would like to go to a traditional Latin mass or something like that, or a good solid Novus Ordo, a Byzantine, find a wife. I mean, they're all married, aren't they? The ones with veils on, aren't they all married? But yeah, stick in there, Lil Wayne. I'm going to pray for you. God will show you your wife. Maybe she won't be skinny cute, right? Maybe she'd be thick and cute. And that's fine. All right. No Name says, good evening, David. Hey, buddy. Oh, Colin says, Mormons don't yeah. Yeah, she won't listen. A Mormon girl, skinny, cute, give you a lot of kids. and she won't turn into an alcoholic or a crackhead. Maybe. All right. Yeah, the Anglicans, yeah, they're so bad. I had a friend here who, I guess one of the most difficult things about, you know, living over here, right, in Europe, is that, man, sometimes you accidentally end up in places that you're not supposed to be on Sunday, right? I think I told you guys my story where I actually ended up in an old Catholic church, which meaning the denomination old Catholics. Man, if it wasn't for the guy who came out the church wearing looking like Peter Pan or Robin Hood, I wouldn't have thought nothing of it. Because Google really doesn't make the distinction. So one of my friends ended up in an Anglican church in England, right? And of course, you know something wrong when the lady gets up there in the altar, but they stayed because they couldn't get, because the Catholic mass is going to start later after that. And the lady starts talking about how the Holy Eucharist isn't real. It was never intended to be real. These Anglicans have completely, and Episcopalians have completely lost their mind. Colin says, talking to no name. I think Pope Francis lost it. Bad Pope, I think for sure. Our standing Pope is so much into commie values from, the prone regime. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Diane Kelly says, I do not agree with our Pope, but Christ tells us to pray for him. Yeah. In every Mass throughout the world, from the rising of the sun to the setting, praise for the Pope. Even the Orthodox, I think, pray for the Pope in some of their prayers. So, Pope Francis has a lot of people praying for him, like a whole world. Right. Dan Kelly says, David, am I correct to say that we need to pray for the counsel of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. I would definitely encourage that. I pray to the Holy Spirit a lot because the Holy Spirit, I think we don't spend a lot enough time praying to the Holy Spirit. I don't hear myself a lot of Catholics speak. And we speak more about asking Mary to pray for us, which is beautiful, efficacious. But we don't spend a lot of time speaking and building relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Spirit has the gifts, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the 12 fruits. And so to pray to the Holy Spirit is to pray for virtue. And so life is simple. Life has two things. Our decisions has two things that we make. We can either pursue sin, or which are anti-virtues, or we can pursue the virtues. So we can pursue virtues, or we can pursue the anti-virtues. And so what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do is he fills us with all the gifts and the fruits so that we can be better enabled to pursue the virtues rather than the anti-virtues. So the Holy Spirit is where it's at. And so by pursuing virtue habitually, we form our conscience. And by better forming our conscience, we better inform our actions and our tongue and everything that we do. So it's all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that really just affects everything. So the closer we are to the Holy Spirit, the closer we are to the joint mission that Jesus Christ had with the Holy Spirit. The closer we are to the Holy Spirit, the closer we are to the church. So the closer to the Holy Spirit we are, the closer we are to Christ. And the more we participate in that joint mission. So we definitely have a better pursuit to the Holy Spirit than we do. Nothing to take away from our Marian devotions or anything like that. But but even the Holy Spirit came upon the Blessed Mother Mary. So we have to understand where we're at and when we're at. And Diane Kelly says, I have a great parish. We have babies everywhere making blessed noise to our Lord. Yeah. Awesome. He said, my parish priest is pushing our parish to get to confession more often. I agree. Definitely. I read this article about I think he's a theologian up in northern Germany. He's talking about confession is dead in Germany, or I think he's talking about Germany, but I probably stand at the Europe. It's crazy how I walk around, go around different places, and nobody's in confession over here, which means that there's just not an awareness of sin. If there's no awareness of sin, then at least to humanism, at least to self-determination, at least to this sort of brain rot, this new ageism that we're talking about. So, and so with confession, like promoting a spirit of confession in the church, what it does is it promotes an awareness of sin. And when you had an awareness of sin, you recognize that, well, man, I need a remedy for this condition, right? And that remedy is Christ Jesus. That's sort of like society. I don't think we live in that society, but imagine if we live in a society that's promoting health and healthy values or healthy dispositions. And people were aware that we're being gluttonous, or aware that we're eating the wrong things. We're eating a bunch of foods from Monsanto. We're eating a bunch of engineered foods. We're eating foods that shouldn't belong to our cycle. We're eating vegetables all year long, when the human body works better when we eat vegetables and fruits when they're in season. And so if we're like aware of things that are like the water we drink, the air we breathe, the toxins we take in. If we were aware of those things, then we would recognize, oh man, there's a remedy to my diabetes. There's a remedy to my lactose intolerance, right? And then we will pursue healthy habits. We will pursue healthy diets, right? So you see people like that, right? I think more people aware of the bad things they take into their bodies than their awareness of what Jesus said. It's not what you put into your body. It's the things that are in your heart. It's things that come out. So we're more aware of the things from the outside than we're aware of sin, right? So we have to have a greatest awareness of sin. And so I think by doing that, by promoting confession like your priest is doing, I think it does that. Like, you know, like I said a couple of years ago, when they're doing this whole Eucharist revival, man, I just wish there was a revival for the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. People were saying, well, there's a confession booth at the sacrament at the revival for the whole Eucharist. Yeah, there's confession there. But what I really think, what I really desire for a revival for a sacrament of penance and reconciliation is that we just have that we promote for 2 years like we did that, just promotes an awareness of sin, like who we are, the things that we've done and things that we failed to do, so that we know who the remedy of sin is. Like when we get sick or we have a toothache, we know who the remedy is. Body ailments are just so plain to us that we know where to go to. What we lose is just awareness of sin. And so we don't know who to go to. Right. So, yeah, that's amazing that your priest is doing that. And yeah, Diane says your parish has been packed. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Dan Kelly says, David, I'm so blessed with the young priests. Do you think that the older priests are missing out on getting through to our younger generation? I don't know about that. I wonder. Hopefully priests will stay. I think perhaps there's maybe a notion that, you know, sometimes when people get older, they lose touch with the younger generation. So I think younger priests do have some more familiarity, I think, and more appeal to younger people. I think age does that, right? I think, that's just life. Like, you know, I'll be 52 in a couple of days. I really don't want to hang out with 18-year-olds, you know, and they probably don't want to hang out with me, you know, just two different generations. But I think the role of the bishop and the priest when they're doing the job well, when they're just sticking with what the church teaches, and they're talking about virtue, anti-virtue, sin, grace. These things are just universally true. They're just universally applicable. So I don't think they have an age limit. I think everyone can appeal to them. But yeah, I think sometimes it does come down to how you relate to people. And I think, yeah, the younger priests can relate well to people more their age. They understand TikTok and, you know, the things that the younger people are into. They understand their jargon and things like that. And younger people appeal to them. But then those young priests will be older one day as well, right? And so they'll lose that appeal. But Pope John Paul II, I think he always did a wonderful job as well, because that's how he started off with youth groups in Poland. And then he kind of really kept that charism his whole life. And what he did was those young people who he appealed to, he sort of took that group with him. He took that group with him. And so I think that's what it is. I think you have your sheep, you'll get more sheep along the way, but I think you keep your flock with you as time goes on. And Laura says, should we ignore in vitro fertilization? Yeah, I think obviously not. That's the idea that we're freezing all these eggs. I don't even know what's going on. And they say so in vitro fertilization, you produce all these eggs, and the best main thing to do rather than destroy the eggs is just to freeze them. I mean, what is that? I don't know. I get people want to have kids. There's adoption. You know, Felicia and I, we've been thinking about adopting. Our youngest just turned 16 a couple of days ago. So, you know, we're thinking about adopting. So, but yeah, Donald Trump says he wants to make the government pay for in vitro fertilization. How about pay for adoption? That's expensive. But yeah, we got a lot of things to work on. Yeah, freezing embryos. All right, this is David O'Gray Show, Off Code, Unscripted. I'm out of here. Appreciate all you guys for coming in. Love you. Keep me in my prayers, and I'll keep you in mind. And I will catch you in the next one. But until then, until next time, blessings and shalom to you and to yours. God bless.